Over four decades ago, medical device pioneers John Abele and Pete Nicholas co-founded Boston Scientific to get life-saving technologies into the hands of physicians. Today, thousands of Boston Scientific employees are continuing that mission. We'll begin to tell their stories here on the Boston Scientific Talks podcast. This is Tom Salemi of Device Talks. You are back listening to the Boston Scientific Talks podcast. We're going to enter into the amazing world of AI today. I had the chance to speak with Sandra Nagli. She is the Director of Digital Health Platforms and Products at Boston Scientific, and that means that she's working on all manners of AI with all types of Boston Scientific devices. We'll talk big picture about what AI means for healthcare, what it means for medical devices, and we'll talk about some specific projects that she's working on at Boston Scientific as well. Of course, we'll get into her background, how she found her way into technology, and ultimately into Boston Scientific. So, Sandra, it was a pleasure to talk to. I'm sure you'll enjoy this conversation. But before we hear from our sponsor, S3 Connected Health, I want to remind you that Device Talks West is happening on October 18th and 19th at the Santa Clara Convention Center. For you Boston Scientific folks who would like to attend, reach out to me on LinkedIn. We really appreciate the partnership with the Boston Scientific Talks podcast. Want to make sure you get there and enjoy the show and cheer on your Boston Scientific colleagues. We'll have a discussion centered around neuromodulation. Now we'll bring in our sponsor, S3 Connected Health. S3 Connected Health is a longtime supporter of Device Talks. Very happy to have them as part of the Boston Scientific Talks podcast, and doubly happy to have Bill Benton, Director of Solutions for S3 Connected Health, here to tell us about S3 Connected Health. Bill, why don't you tell us about S3 Connected Health?
S3 Connected Health is a company that's almost 25 years old, and we're a specialist in being a digital health partner for med tech and pharma companies. We focus on the design and development of connected medical devices and regulated software as medical device applications. We've delivered regulatory compliance solutions across more than 20 therapy areas, more than 50 countries during that 20 plus years. We're headquartered in Ireland. We have a big technical office in Poland as well, and we have a growing office here in the United States. And we work with industry-leading clients, including Philips, Boston Scientific, Inspire Medical, Novartis, Pfizer, and Eli Lilly, among many others.
That's great, Bill. It's always great to hear S3 Connected Health story. If folks want more information right now, they can go to s3connectedhealth.com. That's the letter S, the number 3, connectedhealth.com. You want to wait and hear more from Bill Benton? Well, just keep listening to this podcast. We'll have more Bill Benton and S3 Connected Health a little later in the podcast. Well, Sandra Nagli, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk about AI. I think you folks are the new supply chain. Last year, supply chain folks got all the, I think all the attention. And yeah. I think AI folks are probably now the most popular people at backyard barbecues. So do you talk about your job a lot more now than you used to?
I've been known to talk about my job too much, but yeah, I definitely talk more than I used to. It's all over my mind. And yes, I mean, I need to always be very mindful about not talking about AI, especially, you know, with the last year, everybody being hands-on with AI, it's been really exciting to see.
It's amazing how many AI experts have emerged over the last year.
Yeah, exactly. Including myself.
Yeah, you might actually be one.
getting there.
So let's find out a bit about your story. So how did you find your way into medical technology? Was Boston Scientific your first job in this space?
So Boston Scientific was my first and only job in industry. I've been here for 17 years. And my story begins with coming to this country to get my PhD in chemistry. And so I worked on materials. I actually had a dream of working in the car industry and doing something with cars and driving this wide, huge Ford. And, you know, I was coming from Slovenia in Europe. It was a socialist country where I really was aspiring to do more, to get more opportunities in life. And so I got influenced by my family and an uncle I had here in the US. And so the rest is history. You know, I came here, I had a big dream about working and big passion for technology changing lives. And so I thought it was the car industry, but it actually ended up being healthcare. And it was a lot influenced by the story of my life, which was losing my mom at 64, 13 years ago to pancreatic cancer, and really shifting my mindset to wanting to do something in healthcare. She used to always say, look, I've had a full life, but there's so many people who are hurting here, and I see them every day when I go get my treatments. They're so much younger than me, and so we need to do something. And so it became, you know, one of the big quests of my life to actually make a difference in healthcare. And so the story is, you know, I got my PhD, I came to the US, and then I was working in sensors and big data at the time. This was 20 years ago. Yeah, we were working on machine learning. You know, I was working with computer scientists, and they were developing our machine learning adaptive sensing types of technologies for homeland defense. And so I learned a lot about sensors and data, and everything was manual at the time, but then shifted to, you know, this passion in healthcare at the time. And so I started thinking about how do I make a difference. And so I applied to a number of different companies, and Boston Scientific was, you know, really one that was a very important company for me to start to learn through. And as a chemist, I joined working on coronary drug-eluting stents. So I learned everything about this. Yeah, 3 years. Learned everything about this new technology that was completely new to me. And again, you know, I love a good challenge. And so that was my first 3 years here at Boston Scientific in R&D. And then I moved into becoming an intrapreneur who was always thinking through how do we understand a new disease state or an area where we have an opportunity to help with our devices or develop some new devices or repurpose devices that we already have. And then started really thinking through a lot of these solutions, kind of acting as a startup. And then I was part of a lot of the innovation processes and practices, programs that we built in the company. So my motto was always technology, how do we use it and put it to good use, but also think agile, lean, think about how can we affect things in a fast way with the right science and rigor as well, right? So that balance between, you know, compliance, quality of your products, but as well alongside agile and lean development and thinking about your users. And so
that was actually, that time was all spent on traditional medical devices. We're not reaching the digital stage just yet, correct?
Yeah. We talked about how do you bring an agile type of, you know, we didn't even call it agile at the time. It was really about what's innovation with medical devices. How do you turn everything around really much faster than we used to with the life cycle that we used to have, you know, like years to approval. And so we started out with that process. And then I learned about agile. Digital health became a really important area for us. We started building teams. And so 6 years ago, I moved into digital health, and I've been leading teams there in the digital health space. And then when AI started to be incredibly important, especially in the last year, because, you know, we have a number of challenges in front of us, I started actually working more towards AI solutions. And so here I am.
So how did, at the time in 2016, I'm curious, how would you have defined digital health and what you were trying to accomplish there?
So it was very similar to how we define it today at our company. It was really about using technology and, you know, digital approaches, engagement, all types of different types of technologies like telemedicine or AR, VR, or AI, of course, to impact the patient's lives. And this was alongside our therapies and diagnostics, right? So we think of it very similarly today. So being a company of medical devices, becoming a company in medtech, a leader in medtech, thinking through not just that one-time experience of diagnosis or therapy, but also before, after, and it comes down to accelerating the physicians' workflows, making sure that we help them with whatever digital AI we can provide them to make their decisions faster. Because as you know, the statistics are really, really touching right now. There's burnout, there are physicians retiring, but only one-tenth of urologists are joining the force, while 10 of them are retiring. One of them is joining the workforce at the same time. So it's really touching very closely to the areas that we support with our devices. So there's just no going back. It really needs to be devices plus digital and AI. And that's really the way we solve the problems.
Great point. And I anticipated my question a bit. So we had COVID, obviously, in 2020, the shutdown, which really shone a bright light on digital health and connectivity and delivering care differently and remotely, retreated a little bit from that, but it definitely pushed that field forward. Then the discussion of AI over the past year or so feels like it's just throwing more gasoline on that fire. I think when people hear of AI, they sort of wonder, what does it really mean? So you got into a bit, though, but what problems will AI solve for customers, for physicians, for folks who are engaging with Boston Scientific devices?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think AI is not going to be, in some cases, it's going to be replacing some of the processes, like when you need a diagnostic or a predictive algorithm, the traditional AI is already well prepared and providing, higher accuracy. We've seen it demonstrated over and over for these types of solutions. They're going to be replacing a part of the process and, augmenting the diagnostic process. And so we have examples at Boston Scientific, like Beat Logic, which is our device, our wearable device, a long-term Holter monitor, basically, that provides detection and alerting of notification for physicians for arrhythmias, right? And so it contains a deep learning algorithm. So these algorithms are already making it into mainstream remote patient monitoring. Obviously, LuxDX is another example. It also has an algorithm. It's a insertable cardiac monitor that also provides arrhythmia detection and notifications. And so, these types of technologies, the traditional AI technologies, are going to continue to grow and continue to affect how our physicians and patients really experience healthcare, and are going to be accelerating all the processes so that the physicians can focus much more on the more important things, like being with the patient and understanding what else they need to do. And so, and then there's an angle of what the patient might need to know outside, inside of all of their data, so that they can understand how to best, manage their health, right? So that's one part of it. But then you can't but think about generative AI when you talk about AI, because all of us, including physicians, this last year have been just thinking so much about, we're hands-on, we see this power of this technology, and we're trying to think about how this is going to be changing how we work, right? And so we know that it's about 85% compound annual growth rate for generative AI, right? It's been reported 85% CAGR for generative AI, in particular for healthcare and medtech. And so we all need to be in some way paying attention about, and trying to understand how are these technologies, how are these approaches going to be changing us and how we work. And so I think one of the opportunities here is really the augmentation, the help for whether it's an employee or a physician or a patient, helping with some of the manual things that we weren't able to, change before. So I don't know, we're kind of excited seeing that physicians are already using generative AI to generate emails to patients that are much more empathetic than they would have been able to do at the end of the day, for example.
Interesting.
Or maybe, they're getting excited about summaries from EMR data where they don't have to go through a very large dashboard, but they can basically understand a few things that are pointing them into the right direction. We see these anecdotal examples of, differential diagnoses in the field. But that's really like the future that we're going to be able to have. We're going to be paying attention to much more, understanding how that field actually evolves and helps us accelerate our workflows or make better decisions or make augmented decisions.
And that's a great point. And that's an area that I'm wondering about. So on the editorial front, amongst ourselves, we're sort of debating how AI will impact our jobs going forward. And some people are dismissive and saying, oh, it will never replace this or that. My position is, I have no idea. If you were to, and I don't, I mean, I just like, yeah, you can look at what we have now, but a year from now, I guarantee it's going to be 10x better than what we currently have. How, in looking at medical devices and specifically Boston Scientific's portfolio, if you were to wager, do you think AI is going to have a greater impact than people are really expecting? Or are we all sort of getting caught up in a buzz and it's going to have a less of an impact than perhaps we're anticipating?
I think if we do things right, so if we reduce the risks, right? I mean, AI comes with a lot of risks. It comes with bias, you know, from copyright to security issues to hallucinations or, you know, and again, it depends on which type of AI you're using. But
sure.
With the right choices, with the right rigor, with the right, you know, regulatory approvals and oversight, we will be in a world where we are going to have these technologies help our physicians and, you know, ideally also patients in their journeys. And so some of the examples that we are really excited about are imaging, right? So if you think about the decision making of a physician with a device like an intravascular ultrasound, we have a product called Avigo, which is going to be released soon. So it's really difficult for them to find, identify the stents and then proceed to their procedure. Whereas if you have AI, you can really accelerate that process, right? And so that's how we are addressing these, you know, staff shortages and burnout and all of the issues that physicians are currently experiencing. If you can really help them in the OR, you can ensure that they have maybe less fatigue, more procedures, more throughput. And so we'll see a lot of that implemented. Back to your question, you know, I can't say that we know or don't know how AI is going to affect us, but there's definitely a change that I'm seeing in the last year in terms of adoption, right? So we've seen a lot of the black box concerns when it comes to hospitals, but what we see right now in the field is actually embracing the new and trying to understand, okay, where can I use it, where I'm going to be still smart about it, and I'm going to be making sure that it's used the right way and it's going to be validated, however, and using it for the right reasons, but it's going to really accelerate how I perform my work. But another thing that we need to mention is also the people, you know, the physicians and patients are also people, and they experience their personal experiences of, I don't know, ordering a product or, and I don't know, watching videos or movies, right? All of those experiences are much more superior than what they get in healthcare. And so obviously, they want to have something that's closer to how they experience their everyday. And so it's not anymore maybe or perhaps, but it's really, it has to become that way.
Absolutely. Well, that's interesting. All right, we'll take a break from this conversation to bring in our friends at S3 Connected Health. I'm speaking with Bill Betton. Bill, once again, is Director of Solutions at S3 Connected Health. Bill, how does S3 Connected Health work with medical device companies?
S3 Connected Health is a company that's almost 25 years old, and we're a specialist in being a digital health partner for med tech and pharma companies. We focus on the design and development of connected medical devices and regulated software as medical device applications. We've delivered regulatory compliance solutions across more than 20 therapy areas, more than 50 countries during that 20 plus years. We're headquartered in Ireland. We have a big technical office in Poland as well, and we have a growing office here in the United States. And we work with industry-leading clients, including Philips, Boston Scientific, Inspire Medical, Novartis, Pfizer, and Eli Lilly, among many others.
So, Bill, how does S3 Connected Health work with medical device companies?
Well, we're a full end-to-end partner for design and development of connected medical devices and regulated digital health solutions. So it starts with a conversation. What's your problem? And then we can look in our toolbox and look at the basic tools that we have that we can apply to your problem. It can start with digital strategy. Where are you going? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the data? What's your business model look like? We can carry that through to design and development of firmware as software in a medical device, software outside the medical device, software as a medical device. We move to the mobile. We have a cloud solution that we can put in place as well. So we can help you define it, design it, and build it. In addition, we have our Affinio platform, which we've developed over 20 years, where we can start with a very solid base that allows faster time to market, lower development cost, and provides a stable foundation for development of products today, tomorrow, and provide support for that as well.
Great, Bill. And I know you have a lot of things going on. Are there any specific projects that you're working on that you could tell us, some maybe something more on the exciting side?
Yes, we've got a really interesting project, not just because of the technology involved, but because of the way it's being handled and managed. We have a large company with whom we're dealing. They've been partnering with a university for the last 9 years or so in terms of developing a new diagnostic solution. They've chosen to spin that company out and operate it as an independent entity to allow for quick decision-making, forces them to go hunt up some money, takes a look at the market. So it kind of moves it outside of the umbrella of the large company. In addition, it is a broad-ranging diagnostic product, and it requires various of our capabilities to be brought to bear to create a total solution. We're involved in the architecture, the electronic design. We're doing the firmware. We're doing the mobile connectivity that will take the information gathered by the device, take it to the cloud, where it will be analyzed, an algorithm performed, and a diagnostic sent back to the clinician. So it really takes advantage of all of the tools in our tool set to enable this unique capability that has a chance of remaking the medical marketplace in diagnostics.
And finally, Bill, you've been doing this for a long time. You've been a big part of the medical device industry for a long time. How do you see the industry changing in the future?
Well, technology is a critical element of the whole healthcare system. And for many years, it's been the gating item. In today's world, we have a lot of technology capability that we can bring to bear. But the patient, the provider, and the payer all have to be part of that healthcare system. Patients expect more around their healthcare. They expect to have healthcare delivered when, where, and how they want it to be delivered, whether it's an acute condition, which we've historically been very good at, or a chronic condition where we're helping people live with debilitating diseases that would have killed them earlier. So we're seeing a growth of therapy management solutions where people can manage conditions like diabetes and deal with that, or home dialysis. That's critical. Helping people move healthcare to the home is also a critical element of what's going on. Hospital at home is a much coined term now that is describing the ability to take devices out of the hospital and bring them to the home. That's a critical element as to where we're going as well on that journey to providing healthcare anytime and in any location.
All right. Well, great thoughts as always from Bill Benton and S3 Connected Health. If you'd like to find out more about S3 Connected Health, you can go to their website, S3ConnectedHealth.com. That's S3ConnectedHealth.com. And you'll find out all you need to know about how to best connect your medical devices. All right, now let's get back into our conversation with Sandra Nagli of Boston Scientific. How do you interact with the rest of the company? Are you the entity that people go to when they're developing this kind of device or that? They loop you in to either assess AI possibilities, or if they've already got an AI component, like how are you interacting with the rest of the company? Are you your own separate entity, or are you already kind of embedded in the other businesses?
That's a really good question. So at Boston Scientific, we have a number of franchises and divisions and regions, right? And so everyone is really close to their clinical area or therapy, or you know, developing great products close to these customers that they are experts on. At the same time, we have people like me and my team who are bridging everything across, right? We like to call ourselves those who have the bird's eye view. And so if we see that there's an opportunity to connect two teams because they're doing similar things, that means we can accelerate them and we can help them move faster towards the goal. But in the AI space, you know, we have some of the common capabilities that everybody can enjoy. And then we also ensure that everybody can be innovating close to their customer. So one of the examples is actually, it's a really great example. It's a partnership or collaboration with IBM and MIT. So we've been, you know, the algorithm that I was just telling you about, the intravascular ultrasound stent detection, is actually developed with this entity. And so the way it works is we have our own data scientists get embedded with MIT researchers who are really, you know, best in class, right? And so they develop these products together. And then in turn, we learn a lot and upskill our scientists. And then we are creating this scholar community, AI scholar community that really helps all of our scientists get connected, learn from each other. And so in something like the field of new AI that just has been happening in the last year, we've been able to really be the glue, the connector across the company. And so everybody benefits and gets to the goals faster. We all learn together.
I know you're based in Massachusetts. Is your business, do you have folks in all in Minnesota and all the various Boston Scientific locations?
Yeah, so we have, my team is in Massachusetts and Minnesota, but okay. I connect with all of the divisions across the globe. So we have a really nice structure under our digital team that connects everybody across the globe. So it's been really exciting, actually, to, with all of the connectivity that we've experienced during COVID, we've just amplified the reach that we have across our company. And so that's really, really nice to see.
I bet. So I know AI was a big component of the analyst call. Your CEO, Mike Mahoney, made several references to it, both its impact on products and therapeutics, but also internally. Are you involved with that process at all? And where could AI help Boston Scientific itself run better as an entity, as an operator?
So yeah, regarding the analyst call, there's two fields that we need to talk about, right? So one of them is our internal efficiencies, and that's really how we started, right? And MIT IBM, again, this program was a big enabler of those solutions. So some of the areas where we really started thinking through new solutions were, you know, visual inspection, for example, when we're manufacturing our products, the defects that are visually inspected, you can replace that process and you can make it even more accurate with AI. Because again, just like with physicians, you have fatigue, you have, you know, more opportunity for mistakes to happen. And so AI is a great replacement for those types of processes. So we've developed some algorithms in that space. The other example is supply chain analytics. And so there's data always available for our management or for our teams to gather and make decisions about. But when you bring the machine learning aspect where there are all these variables that are all of a sudden being, you know, combined into one algorithm, you can get so much better insights and you can save a lot more on inventory that you don't need. And so that's great for everyone, right? It's not only great for our company, but it's really great for everyone to have those types of solutions. And then, yeah, on the investor call, we talked a little bit about other areas like e-commerce and other areas like remote support. And even though those are not AI powered yet, perhaps all of these areas will have AI powered algorithms in the future, I believe, because, you know, again, if we just think about all of the opportunities and the data that we're generating, turning that data into meaningful insights and actionable insights will be really, really important in the future.
So we've talked extensively about how AI might be built into products and sort of outward-facing medical devices, things that are going to your customers. How is AI being used internally by Boston Scientific to streamline operations?
That's great, Tom. It's a great question because we actually started out that way, right? In the MIT IBM collaboration, we actually started out thinking through how can AI help with our internal processes. And one of the examples is visual inspection can be replaced by AI because AI can provide you equal or better accuracy. And that goes back to also reducing fatigue of employees who have to be working on visual inspection on the manufacturing lines. And then the other example is supply chain analytics. Again, even though we have really great data, we can use AI to put together a much better algorithm of predictive insights around when will my inventory expire and how much do I have to have and so on. And so it just becomes much better outcome for us. But those efforts led into really thinking through, okay, what are our next areas where we can affect physicians and hospitals and patients? And so the algorithms that we are really excited about right now are in our operating room, for example, like I was saying, imaging. So helping patients, helping physicians get better, faster at their decisions, find things that they haven't been able to find before necessarily without these technologies. And then I think one of the very important areas is decision support for physicians that goes back to addressing those hurdles that we were talking about in the beginning. If you have fewer people in the OR, for example, because the physician all of a sudden has been empowered with a tool that can provide them, you know, more independence in decision making. Those are really transformative areas that we're excited about.
So the final question is going to be kind of one of those bigger questions, those forward-looking questions. I imagine just like with the internet, it used to be internet banking. Now everything, all banking is internet-based. I imagine 10 years from now, we're going to be stopped talking about AI like it's this separate entity and it's going to be part of almost everything we do. To you, you have sort of an early peek on things. What does that future look like 10 years from now for the medical device industry? And are there some risks and some hurdles that we need to clear to get to that point?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the history of our company has been really to work smart and develop high quality products and do it with the right processes, right? And so I think that's going to apply just the same to AI, because what we want is to be innovative, to iterate fast, to understand what are the right problems to solve, to think about the users and address the user needs, but at the same time, also think about the technology and the risks that come with it. And so that's why we are actually really well positioned to continue leading in this area, because we have all of the ingredients, plus our culture and people, to develop the right products. So we're going to be very laser focused on understanding the right needs and then developing the right products for those needs, and reducing the risk by working with, you know, as always, our regulatory agencies, developing the products with the right rigor in mind, and then understanding the greatest risks of AI, which are, you know, a little bit like the internet industry and everything. It's a new, very new thing that we're needing to be really extra careful about understanding, and understanding its limitations and understanding the risks that it brings so that we can develop the right products going forward. So I'm incredibly confident that AI will be a big piece of what we do and how we do it in the future. And we will be in this future of, you know, patients being much more empowered and engaged in their healthcare, and physicians not even thinking about the fact that they're using AI, that it's just part of who they are and it's augmenting who they are. So I think it's probably going to become something in the background once we figure out how to do it well and how to be comfortable about doing it in a, you know, regulated space. But it is going to become something just like your phone that you pick up and you don't even know that it had this whole history of, you know, new technology that came up into the market, and everybody was at the time trying to figure out what this was going to be good or, you know, the smartphone or everything, every single technology. I feel about it as, you know, this is a big leap in transformation this year, especially. But I think in the future, we are going to see the same type of evolution. We're on a different type of technology curve with generative AI, especially, but we will get there with the smart approaches that we've used in the past. We just need to be, I think, even more mindful around the risks. And yeah, I'm always hopeful. So
that's a way to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is much cooler than cars, I think.
Yeah, or self-driving cars. You know, that's if we can learn anything from how to be really careful about, you know, when you take your hands off of the wheel.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think, you know, it's a very similar type of situation here. You know, in healthcare, we are excited. We know that we can solve a lot of problems, but we want to be sure that it's the right time to take our hands off the wheel. And so when that happens, we will know, and we'll have a number of great products coming out.
Well, interesting stuff. Thank you so much, Sandra, for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure. Great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, that is a wrap. Thanks so much to Sandra Nagli for the time and the thoughts and the vision of where we're headed in the future with AI. Thanks, of course, to our friends at S3 Connected Health. As I said, they've been longtime supporters of Device Talks, and very, very excited to have them as part of this podcast series. Finally, thank you, our listeners, for joining us. Do us a favor and share this episode on your social media channels. When you do, connect with us, connect with Boston Scientific. Connect with S3 Connected Health. We'd all love to be part of your conversations. If you're not sharing but still want to connect, you can find me on LinkedIn, Tom Salemi at Device Talks. Also, please make sure you subscribe to the Device Talks Podcast Network so you can receive future episodes of Boston Scientific Talks, as well as our other great podcasts. Finally, we'd love to see you at Device Talks West. We'll have Boston Scientific represented there as well. Go to west.devicetalks.com for more information. And we'd love to see you at the Santa Clara Convention Center. Once again, if you're an employee of Boston Scientific and you'd like to attend, please do reach out for me. We really appreciate the partnership with Boston Scientific on this podcast, and we'd love to make sure you get to that event. So reach out to me on LinkedIn, and we will make sure that happens. All right, folks, thanks again for joining us on this episode of Boston Scientific Talks. Thanks to S3. We'll be back with another episode real soon. Take care, everybody.